It is time now to check in with Penny Rich, who is the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. They had their Assembly of Governments meeting just last night with a whole bunch of items on the agenda. Commissioner, good to have you here. How are you?
Yeah, good to be here. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. A little chilly, but...
A little bit, yeah.
We're getting warmer.
But again, my family's in Michigan. It's like negative 10 degrees with a wind chill of negative 40 and the whole state shut down.
Oh, that just makes me want to like crawl under my blankets.
Yeah, which we don't have to because we're in North Carolina where it's just generally cool. Yeah.
That's right. Well, there were some concerns last night at the AOG meeting that if it does start, sleeting, are we going to be able to, leave the meeting? And so we have a couple of deputies that are always with us. They were monitoring things. We're like, yeah, we'll get everyone down south if it happens. Yeah, you'll be fine.
So a lot of agenda items at the meeting last night. Affordable housing. I'm just trying to get it off the top of my head. Affordable housing, transportation, cooperation, climate change, the green tract at the very end.
And the
census. I'm missing a couple of
the census,
right?
Yeah, really important. Yeah. So you know, the big thing, again, overall, we're trying to do this one orange theme and try to get everyone to realize how important it is to collaborate, right? That's on everything. So the housing came up first, and at the end we were thinking about, okay, maybe we can think of 3 to 5 priorities that are the most important for 2019 for the entire county. And then, you know, we can all chip in, not whether it be our expertise, whether it be funds, whether it be, different out-of-the-box ideas. We all got to think about that. And then, of course, that looped around back to the green track, but that was our very last conversation. Mm. So, we do have some thoughts about, we have a collaborative now with all the government bodies that are involved, the home collaboration. We're thinking about changing their or adding their a charge to them to be more policy-oriented and help us understand how to take what they consider policy and let the governing bodies do it. So that's going to come. So that's one change for that. Mm. Transit was really interesting. We got an update from Chapel Hill Transit as well as Orange County Transit, and then Travis gave us a little bit of Go Triangle. It's something really exciting. I think people don't realize since 2013, Chapel Hill Transit has added 10,500 hours to the schedule, and that's all due to the sales tax that we put in specifically for that. So
is that an annual thing, like throughout the year, 10,500 hours?
That was through from 2013 to 2019.
Okay.
So 10,500. They have money to add some additional hours. So that's coming. They're just sort of like working that into their budget now. But now they've got these new two new electric buses that are coming online. So we're pretty excited about that to see, how well they do. The hybrid experiment didn't seem to work out so well. So we can see how these electric buses work.
And how is ridership?
So ridership seems to be pretty steady. I mean, the biggest, you and I talked about this, the 84 buses an hour in the morning that are popping down at, UNC Healthcare. Mm-hmm. So that's still really massive. And moving those, the students around too. 25,000 people work on the UNC campus with the hospitals and the campus every single day. That's not including the students. So all those folks that are on those buses really are in the prime times, right? In the morning and the night, or the 7 to 7 shifts, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. Ridership otherwise, like the CW bus is always packed, crowded. I'm going to call off bus routes and they're not going to know them, but I'm an F bus rider, and that's something that that comes down here to the
place,
leaves my house, comes down. So it could be very crowded, or there could be like 6 other people on the bus. It's kind of like when you hit it in the hours. Mm-hmm. But we are encouraging ridership to go up, and we're discouraging the single cars and all that. So the reverse circulator in Hillsborough we talked about, and that's a possibility in late 19, early 20. We're still trying to figure out, do we need to drop a bus to get that bus going, and how do we bring Hillsborough on to becoming part of our transit partner? A lot of folks are down in this part of the county don't realize that we have a bus that goes from Alamance to Durham across Orange County. Mm-hmm. You do because you're up in the county teaching, and as a professor at Durham Tech, that we're moving people around a lot.
Right.
I
think I know that more from this job than that job, though, because you get there, you get to Durham Tech, and it's such a commuter school, and the parking lot is full of cars, right? But there are the buses there.
The buses drop them off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the buses are also hitting the Hillsborough UNC hospitals,
yes,
too.
Yes, so exactly.
That's good.
Yeah.
Economic economic development, we get into this every time we bring all the groups together, because everybody wants a share of that sales tax also. Remember, mm-hmm. we have that sales tax, the schools and businesses. And a lot of that money was pumped into the EDDs to bring some infrastructure, which means that, you know, we have debt service on it, right, which is kind of like 50% of where that money is going to now. The rest of it's going to small business loans, agricultural loans, and to help the municipalities. You know, the municipalities are thinking they would like a little bit more of that pot. And so we need to work with them and figure out how we can get them more money. Because mm-hmm. I think that you know, you come up with a good project in the southern part of the county, we got to make it happen. You know, it's not all in these EDDs. Yeah, and Carrboro rightfully so said, you know, they don't have an economic development district. Therefore, they consider their downtown their economic development district. Mm-hmm. And that's full of, like, you know, small businesses, restaurants, you know, things that you don't really think of when you think about big economic development. So that conversation always goes around and, you know, excuse me, in a circle. And
right,
it's interesting.
Right.
So we'll have to continue on that one.
And like Carrboro does, I mean, it's cool. They think about downtown as being their economic development
That's
district.
It.
And they really do economic development in a different way, because the festivals are big drivers. And
that's right.
Weaver Street Lawn is a big driver. Like, there's no business there, but there's a draw that attracts people there. And then they go to other places.
That's right. And, you know, they've been thinking about a Maker's Village up off of 86, which is a project that they've asked for some money. And, you know, it's a good thing that they got the commissioners involved at the very beginning of the project. That's one thing that we stressed last night. Don't come to us when the project is already baked and the ground is broken. Mm-hmm. That's a bad time to come and ask for money. You want to come and you want us to be a partner. We want to be a partner from the very beginning. And, you know, that happened with Wegmans, it happened with Mebane, with Morinaga. Let's partner at the beginning and make the best of what we can offer. So Carrboro's doing it right by starting us off in the beginning. And I don't think that project is completely gone yet. I think we're just trying to fine-tune it to see if it can work or not. Mm-hmm. The climate change conversation was enormous, I just have to tell you, because I think last week I told you all about an event that took place on Sunday at the library.
Yes.
There were over 100 people there. And I want to tell you, this is so interesting. I didn't know about 50 people in the room, which is kind of odd, right? Because we usually know that the players that come out and talk to
the
us.
The same people come to all the meetings,
people,
right?
Same people. And maybe even more than half the room. I didn't know folks. So I was going around and talking to people. It was great. But it's clear to me that this is like becoming the number one issue on people's minds. And I think we know that because you and I joked around. We begin and we end with a snowstorm of the year. And mm-hmm. then we have these horrible, you know, hurricanes in between that. The hurricane didn't necessarily kick us, but the rains after the hurricane kicked us. You know, it's kind of like what happened in Katrina. The hurricane really didn't kick them. It was the flooding afterwards that got them.
I mean, why are we talking about the cold in the eastern seaboard right now? It's the warmer air in the Arctic pushing the polar vortex down, and now the Arctic air is in Michigan, right?
Yeah, Michigan. Everybody's inside in Michigan.
Yeah,
except
exactly.
They were at the bed. Did you watch basketball? I don't know if you watch Michigan State.
I totally do, yeah.
The arena was full.
I mean,
people went out.
They're going out for Michigan State. Yeah, definitely.
They're going out for basketball.
The entire university is shut down, but Breslin's open.
Maybe classes. But
right.
So, but this is one of climate change is one of the things that we're actually going to take action on right mm-hmm. away. So we are going to let we're going to form a group. I'm hoping that some of the ad hoc people join that group. Mark Markopoulos and I were also met with AWASA today, and they want to be part of that climate change group, which is very reasonable, right? You know, they're part of this, you know, conservation of water, and if it's long and dry, you know, and they don't have water.
Yep.
So they really do want to be part of it. We're going to get the school boards involved, too. Mm-hmm. So I think this group is going to be a pretty large group, Aaron. It's not just going to be, you know, one member from each board. I also think we need to collaborate with UNC on this, too. Brad Ives has come up with some really good ideas and has spoken both with the council and the county. So that's going to happen sooner than later. I would imagine this group will be in action by the spring.
You mentioned the ad hoc committee. And we're speaking with Penny Rich, by the way. We're talking about the Assembly of Governments meeting from yesterday. The ad hoc committee is the four individuals, right? Mark Markopoulos,
Jen Weaver,
Rachel Shavitt, Sammy Slade.
Yeah,
am I
that's right
there?
Right.
Yeah,
awesome.
From the four different boards.
Yeah.
And they presented a report, right?
They did. They gave us a report. They updated us on what each of the towns are doing, mm-hmm. and then they had the last page was just a lot of suggestions on what they think we should be doing moving forward. And one of them was, you know, creating this group and you know, just really engaging with not only elected officials, but our residents, our business owners, AWASA, the university. So that's going to happen.
What were some of the other recommendations?
It's more transit, higher density. Let's make sure that we're building in the right places. Again, you know, check the flood zones. Like right across the street here, Camelot Village is a disaster every time it rains. And it can rain a little bit, and it's a disaster there.
Right.
How do we get around that? How do we make that better? And I think Chapel Hill is kind of working on that now. I know you talk with Pam about that a lot.
Yep.
So, but things like that, you know, really the density, the transit oriented. We didn't get entirely into that, but transit oriented developments, not only around light rail, but around like you know our BRT and mm-hmm. you know getting closer to the highway so you can maybe you know get right on there and hop on there. Carpooling and van pooling. Start doing something like that. Go Triangle does that a little bit in Durham, but we need to do more of that. So, these are all really good recommendations, and we're hoping they'll move forward with them in the spring. The census was another one that we decided that we needed to move on quickly. And we talked a little bit last week. In 2000, the county put some money in to educate people on how to get out and do this. Well, it's all different now because it's online, right? And it's not like, you know, you fill out your census and you mail it in anymore. Although some places where we don't have broadband, that has to happen.
Right.
But this is a really interesting way of doing this online, and it's only one day that you get to do it online, April 1st. That's it. So we've got a year and a couple of months to get the word out. Mayor Heminger thought, you know, we should get this group together now. And Mark Dorson has been talking about this as well to get going on it. And, you know, the there was a small amount of money that was used in 2000, and I think that we could probably, you know, work that out and get some information on what we did and figure out what the level of investment versus what the input is.
But the local role is mostly education about the census
it's
and
all
what
education.
People ought to do. Yeah.
It's all education. I think, though, what's going to happen, though, is folks that don't know, that want to use computers and don't know how to, like, you know, for example, my mom or, you know, people that might need assistance, we're going to try and find, enumerators to work with them and the same kind of folks that worked in 2000 to help them do that.
So it's getting like the libraries involved, too, right?
Exactly.
Public Library has their circulator, like put computers on it and send it around and things like that.
That's exactly what's going to happen. We were talking libraries, community centers, you know, just places where people meet up all the time, places where, you know, older folks, I know a lot of folks come here and do their walking, right? So maybe have someone out there talking to folks as they're walking around.
Awesome.
So that's going to happen pretty soon, too. And then, of course, we got to the Green Tract and, the conversation was, let's move.
Yeah.
You know? So it was kind of decided by all the governments, but you know, I saw Chapel Hill kind of backing away a little bit, but we want a resolution passed that we will work together. That's the first step. We've never really had that resolution. So Carrboro is like, you know, bring it on. The counties bring it on. And so we need to talk to Chapel Hill and make sure they feel a little bit more comfortable. I think that, the concern with the council is that they're fairly new and they don't realize that this Green Track we've been talking about for 20 years. Mm. I've been talking about 17 years. I made a joke that my son was 7 when I first started talking about the Green Track, and he's going to be 24 next week, or next month, rather.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting.
It's been a long conversation, but...
Long conversation, and
what was the, like, concrete discomfort from Chapel Hill? Like, what were their concerns?
Well, there weren't... So it was split. There were a few folks that thought that they didn't have data, and they didn't understand, you know, who would live in the Green Tract, and you know, why you would want to live in a place that might be a little bit far away from town.
Mm-hmm.
There was some suggestion that Chapel Hill Transit wouldn't serve it, but Chapel Hill Transit does serve it. The HS bus does. And, you know, the nice thing about the Green Tract is we own the land, but the nice thing about the local transit is we run the transit system.
Yeah.
So you
I still appreciate how you can just rattle off every single transit. Like, there is that difference between people who do transit and people who don't. Like, the people who do transit is like, oh, yeah, the F bus goes here, the HS goes here, the CW goes there.
So
yeah.
The HS, when my kids would sleep in late and they would miss the school bus, they would ask
me
to drive them to school. And I was like, heck heck no, I'm not doing that. So I got the HS school bus schedule, the HS schedule. It was on the refrigerator. But you better get your butt out the door now because you're going to miss the bus. Yeah, I'm not driving.
We already missed the bus, Mom. Come on.
Go, no, get out there. So, yeah, no, but, you know, I encourage everybody, to, if they don't have to get in the car, get on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really cost anything, right? You're paying for it in your taxes anyway. It's fun. The kids love it. I remember taking my kids on the bus when they were younger. They loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. So, yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So,
I think we're good here.
Yeah. Speaking with Penny Rich, OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on county government. Got to wrap up in a second, but one thing that didn't happen at that meeting, but earlier this week, the Orange County School Board met and voted on a policy to promote and actually concretely manifest racial equity in individual schools. And we were talking before we started, now the conversation shifts to working with county commissioners to hammer out concrete details and get funding for
it. Right, yeah. And I'm excited. I think it was a good move. I think that, you know, I did listen to that conversation, and of course you saw it was all over local news and you know, they're not. You're right. I don't think that everything is hammered out yet. So we need to wait till they come up with a plan. They're estimating between $300,000 and $500,000. And you know, we know that Chapel Hill is doing something. They have a racial equity person that is on board now already. So, you know, with that one Orange, maybe we can learn lessons from what Chapel Hill is doing and work with Orange County and bring that together. And, you know, I don't know if we can share a person because I don't know if it works that way, but we can certainly share whatever his ideas are and what he's working on. So, yeah, I'm excited to start those conversations. We will be beginning to meet with the school boards in March, and then we do it again in April, and then we do it again in May. And this is the new way that we're doing things, so we can get the numbers out on the table early. If we out of all the numbers we need for budget, it's the school board numbers. So if we get them in March and we have to make a decision at the end of June, we're ahead of the game.
Yep. Awesome. Again, OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information. Penny Rich, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Aaron.